Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. You can find that in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles on page 735 or on the screen behind me. This is where Jeremiah speaks about the new covenant. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judea. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the house, out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This ends the reading of the Old Testament for this morning. May God give his blessing to the reading of his and our understanding of his holy word.
I feel like we need to, in the middle of the service, have a designated potty break with that water running. Isn't that right? It is the first Sunday of the year, and for the last 3 years, this will be our fourth year where we have rededicated our lives, given ourselves back to God after a full year of events and experiences, some of which have been positive, some of which have not been. And part of the understanding of the rededication of our lives is a rededication of our baptism, which is why we have the fountain from outside before it takes its place up in the attic over the winter. We thought we'd bring it in. And traditionally, we have the baptismal font up there so that when you come up and take communion, you're able to take a blue bead. Well, we don't have the baptismal font, but we do have blue beads. And when you do come up for communion this Sunday, you'll see the top. Well, I'll just show you. This has blue beads in it up here at the top. So feel free to grab a bead as you make your way to communion. The scriptures that we had today are identical from last year as well. But there's a mistake in the bulletin. It says 2 Peter. It's actually 1 Peter. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter. We'll be looking at chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And we read, "Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have a genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For our Scripture states, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like a flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And that Word is the good news that was announced to you." This is the Word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it is hard to believe that we are in 2015. Some of us can remember as kids not imagining ever that we would be alive for the year 2015 and have no clue what that would look like. And as we turn the pages on the calendar, we turn not only a new month, but we turn also a new year. We also find ourselves making resolutions, making promises that this year we are going to do things different from what we did last year. And do you find that the promises that you make this year tend to be very similar to the promises that you made at the beginning of last year? That happens a lot. I'll just claim responsibility for myself with that as well. And in the back of our minds, we think that we are able to determine the course for our future. If I just try hard enough, if I'm just determined enough to change things at the beginning of the year, maybe the rest of the year is going to be better or is going to follow along in the way that I want it to go. Of course, it's a simple reflection of our misguided notion that we are ultimately in charge of our lives. I think we know that's not true. You know, every year my father-in-law buys me a new shirt and a tie. This is last year's. David loves this shirt and this tie. He calls it my river shirt. My river shirt. Thank you, David. He bought me a book this year, so you get last year's shirt today. Sorry. This year he bought me a book. He never buys me books. He's never bought me a book in his life before. He bought me the book Unbroken. I don't know if you've ever read it before. It took me a couple days, two or three days to read it. If you haven't read it, spoiler alert. So just, I'm sorry. But I need to say about what happens, especially what happens at the end. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know what takes place in the movie, but I did enjoy the book. The entire book, from beginning up until the very, very end, up until the last few chapters, is a testament to a single human's ability to persevere, to make it through the most inhumane conditions you can imagine. This Italian-American Olympic athlete who becomes a war hero, Louis Zamperini. If you don't make it, though, to the last chapters, you will leave thinking, and I don't know if the movie included the last chapters or not, but if it didn't, you would leave thinking, we are amazing creatures. What we can do is mind-blowing. The limits of how far we can be pushed and still survive and still be able to make a life for ourselves is mind-boggling. That's what you can walk away with. The focus is, of course, on whom? In those statements, it's on us, our abilities, the way in which we're able to persevere. If we want to make a new life for ourselves in this new year, the message would tell us, if we want things to be different this year, we just have to try harder. We just have to be more determined, and we'll be able to do it. But the last couple chapters of this book, he comes home. He comes home. And when he comes home from the war, he breaks. He's no longer unbroken. He realizes when he comes home that he can't do it on his own. He slips into alcoholism. PTSD dominates his life. It's all he can think about during the day. And when he closes his eyes, he gets no rest at all. His wife leaves him. He becomes completely broke. And then, just like the children's sermon, one day he meets Jesus. That's the book. Through the words of Billy Graham, he encounters and he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because he discovers that he has to live for something bigger than himself. He discovers that this world isn't all about who he is and his ability to persevere and his ability to not be broken, but rather this world is about the man who was broken on the cross so that we could survive. From one day to the next, because Jesus was at the heart of his transformation, and not just his own willpower, which he had relied upon. From one day to the next, he stopped drinking. He had no more nightmares. He had no more flashbacks. One day to the next, upon giving his life to Christ. And he dedicated his life away from what was good for him and what was focused inwardly on him, toward what was good for God and those around him, including being able to forgive face to face those who had caused the most suffering in his life. We haven't faced the same situations that Louis Zamperini faced this past year. But we've had experiences. And this year, I really ask you, don't make any resolutions. Don't make any resolutions at all. I want you to look carefully at the words that we read this morning in our scriptures. Jeremiah tells us not to make a resolution, because that's our own willpower. Jeremiah tells us to make a covenant. To make a covenant with our God. And that covenant isn't based upon what we're able to do. It's based upon what God has already done for us. If you look at verse 34 of chapter 31 in Jeremiah, he tells us that God has already forgiven us of our sins. We don't have to try to do anything to make up for our sins, because we can't do enough anyway to make up for our sins. God's taken them and he's already forgiven them and he's written his love and his presence and his law on our hearts. We have to stop trying to make up for our inadequacies. Jesus is adequate enough for us to live in him. In the same way, in 1 Peter, the author focuses on what we need to focus on, which is, again, what Jesus has already done for us. Not our ability or not what we have done. If we're out of control, Jesus died and suffered on the cross to give us the control that we need. We can't reclaim that control alone. Are we finding ourselves isolated and alone? And I know this time of the year especially brings up feelings of isolation. Jesus allows us to start over. Be born anew, not because we choose or decide to, but because Jesus made sure that we could. Maybe we're lost in our sin, unable to get ourselves out of the spiral that seems to have taken over our time and our action. 1 Peter tells us that our flesh is like grass. Not a single one of us here can prevent our death. It will happen. But Jesus has prevented death from claiming our lives. Through Christ, we can renew our covenant today and stand before him as new creatures, again, not because of what we're able to do, but because of who Jesus is. Let me give a little bit of a history of the covenant renewal service. If you would take it out, and ushers, if you don't have one of these, no one's going to look at you, but if you would just slightly raise your hand, I'm not telling you to come forward and commit your life to Christ now. I'm just asking you, raise your hand because you don't have one of these papers. If there's someone who doesn't, just raise your hand and I'll make sure an usher will get one for you. And In 1775, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement, which then eventually became the Methodist Church, credit goes to him for this service. He also stole it from someone 100 years before his time, who was a Puritan named Richard Alain. And Wesley fell in love with the service because of the results that he saw on Sunday mornings. They would always have it on the watch night service for New Year's Eve. And he saw the results. And let me just quote some of the things that he said that he saw during the service when this was done. He said it was, as usual, a time of remarkable blessing. He said, afterwards, many desired to return thanks, either for a sense of pardon, for full salvation, or for a fresh manifestation of His graces, healing all their backsliding. Maybe you've never made a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. This covenant allows you to do that. Maybe 2014 was a terrible year of backsliding. A year where you turned your back on Christ more than you embraced Him. This is an opportunity for you to approach Him, to embrace Him again. I'm going to encourage you just now, if you would, to open it up, and open it up right in the middle. You'll see on page 3, and I say this every year, and I mean it every year, just to encourage you to allow yourself to be in a place here in this sanctuary where you feel like you're safe, to be able to express your love to your Savior. You'll see right in the middle of the page, of page 3, the covenant prayer. That's the center of this service. I'm going to pause before we read, O Righteous God, to give you an opportunity, if the Spirit moves within you, to kneel, to raise your hand in worship, to raise your head up to God, any way that you feel led, or if you just want to do the Presbyterian thing, which is sit quietly and read your words, that's okay too. Whatever the Spirit leads you. And I want all of us, if we feel comfortable just doing the Presbyterian thing, to allow our neighbor to do something different. And to embrace that. And allow that to happen. You'll see also at the very end of the service, a place for your signature, a place for the date. I don't want you to sign it here in the sanctuary or to date it here in the sanctuary. What I want you to do is go to Sunday school, go to the Epiphany party, have pizza with us, and then go home and read through this service again. And if you feel you are able to recommit your life to Christ for 2015, then I want you to sign it in the quiet of your home. And I want you to put a date on it. Then I want you to put this in a place where you're going to run into it. You're not allowed to put it on top of your dresser where your Bible is gathering dust, okay? Take the Bible off, grab this covenant renewal service, tape it on your fridge, put it somewhere so that those days when you're wondering, what is it all worth? What's it all about? You will see this and you will be reminded of the covenant not only that you made with your Creator, but this is probably one of the more important parts of it, the covenant that He has made with you even before you were born. When you were baptized, if you were baptized as a baby, He claimed you even before you could claim Him. So folks, I encourage us all now to renew our promises before Almighty God. Let us now open our covenant renewal service. And you'll see the parts that are not in bold. I will read the parts that are in bold. I encourage you to read along. I'll begin even the bold parts, but that means you should be joining in as well. Let us renew our promises before Almighty God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and we have been admitted into the new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with His own blood that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ. He is the source and the perfecter of our faith. But then on the other side, on our side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And from time to time, like this Sunday, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and we gather at the Lord's table. And today, we meet as the generations before us have met to renew the covenant that binds us to God. Let us make this covenant of God our own. And so today I ask you to commit yourselves to Christ as His servants. Give yourselves to Him that you may belong to Him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and even disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests, and others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and also please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and pray together. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself to your will in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Christ will be the Savior of none but His servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that He requires. Christ will be all in all, or He will be nothing. Confirm this by a holy covenant. And to make this covenant a reality in your life, listen now to these admonitions. First of all, set apart some time, more than once, to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are. And whether you, after having carefully considered them, whether you're willing to choose them all. Be sure you're clear on these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving and grace and strength so that you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts. You have opened your mouths to the Lord. You have dedicated yourselves to God, and with God's power, never, ever go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. If the Spirit leads you, fall down on your knees. Lift your hands toward heaven. Open to the Lord. Open your hearts to the Lord as we pray. Let's take a moment to pause. Let us pray together. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will. For you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. God, though, requires that you shall put away all your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again if you would only let Him. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and I sincerely join myself in a covenant with Him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. And I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and Head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my own. Now Christ has told you that you must suffer with Him. I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. And God has given holy laws as a rule of your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches, and He knows your heart. O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. Almighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it, and let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. So thank you, loving God. And now we turn our hearts and our minds and our lives to you, knowing that you are faithful and just, and will turn back to us a life of freedom, a life that is marked by your Holy Spirit. We pray this now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.